gutsy speech, so I've got to give him credit for that. Sorry, Michael, they were just asking me a question, so I'm going to back off for a second. Hold that story.
I don't know. Something knocked me off just like it did the other night. Let's pray. In the name of Jesus, right now, I command this internet connection to stay solid and do not drop me out again or anybody else as far as that goes in Jesus' name. And we thank you, Lord, that I'm casting down all kinds of witchcraft curses that are coming against us in Jesus' name and send them back where they came from. And we praise you, Father, that tonight we're not going to have any more trouble from this point on in Jesus' name. We thank you, Lord, that your angels are on the job and keeping us on this outreach in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Thank you, Jesus. Sorry about that, folks. I don't know what happened. I know we've been having some witchcraft garbage going on, so we know that's now blocked in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Okay, where did I leave off? Because I looked up after praying and I was off.
Got about midway through the prayer and then you were locked up and that was it. So we really didn't get started a whole lot.
Okay. All right. Well, Lord, we're just thinking that tonight's going to be a special night because we know you're in charge and you're the one leading this group. And we praise you, Father, that from this point on, no more problems. In Jesus' name, we come against the wiles of the enemy. We bind them up and cast them out of here in Jesus' name. We're not going to have any more hindrances tonight in this group in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father, for all that you're going to do tonight because I know it's going to be a special night because you're here in Jesus' name. Amen. Excuse me. Well, hey, Chet. Okay.
Sorry. How's everybody doing this evening?
Now we're doing good. Praise God.
Yeah, now that you're here, Chet, we're fine.
Yeah, everything's copacetic. All right. Has anybody got a prayer request? How about a testimony? Praise report. Yeah, Chet, go ahead.
I got one to share with you guys. I was on the phone with a brother, and we were just fellowshipping, and I had to walk into a store, and when I walked in, I felt like the Holy Spirit highlighted a lady that was actually in the store buying something. And I walked up to her and I approached her and asked her if there's anything I could pray for her about. And she said, yeah, her feet were hurting her really bad. She had to stand on her feet for hours at a time. So what was so awesome about this is the brother that I was talking to on the phone, he having trouble with fear and not having courage and approaching people and praying for people. So I told him, I said, well, just listen, I'm going to pray for this lady. And I prayed for her, and he got to hear everything. I didn't put a single word in her mouth. And she told me, she said, you know, all the pain's gone out of my feet. My feet are warm, and they're kind of tingling. But she said, my feet feel fine. And it was amazing because I got to share that with him, and I think it built his faith. And he got to hear, you know, like how I would approach somebody in public that I don't know. You know what I mean? It was really cool.
Thank you, Lord, for showing people. Now, Missy, that just ain't right. That's just something wrong with that now. Come on.
What's that? I missed it.
Oh, I'm talking about Missy, and she's sitting up there eating it, whatever it is she's eating. Lemon.
That's why I had my camera open. I'm trying to eat, too, but I was like, I got to turn on my camera so they know I'm trying to say something.
Oh, my. That's okay, Missy. You're too late now. We already seen it. Okay, anyone else?
It's just a graham cracker.
Yeah, that's what I'd have said too. All right, anyone else?
Well, nothing as dramatic as Chet. Sorry, your hand first. I beg your pardon.
Go ahead, Marilyn.
Okay, I got a couple of praise reports real quick. I'm thankful. We've been praying for rain, and we got rain a few days ago. We actually got a couple of inches, and I was praying a day or two ago that the Lord would give us what they call a pineapple express up here, and it's where it warms up, and it doesn't come down as snow. It comes down as rain, and we're getting some good rain. And I am very thankful, and it's not coming down as snow here at the elevation that we're at. In the higher elevations, probably coming down as snow. So yeah, I wanted to thank the Lord for that. And the other thing is, Michael, you might not have remembered, but you prayed, probably been 6 or 8 weeks ago, but you know, we've been short at working at the food bank, just so bare bones. Not enough help. And last week, one of our older clients came in and she said, I want to volunteer at the food bank. And so she was there yesterday morning at 8:30, and her name is Marion, and I've known her for a number of years, and she is about 90, but she is got more energy than I do. She's very, very spry, and she was a good help. But the most amazing thing is she really loves the Lord. I knew she was a Christian, but we had 3.5 hours together yesterday, and during a time where we had a little break and we could sit down and talk, we were sharing, you know, testimonies and you know, how we got saved. And she is so full of the love and the grace of God. And she's been widowed twice, but she is just full of joy. You never hear anything bad come out of her mouth. And she reads her Bible every day. She says she prays all day long. She just talks to the Lord all day long. And one thing that she said really struck me. She said, you know, I don't have a TV and I don't have a computer. She says, I just read my Bible and I like to work puzzles. So I know that for myself, my tablet can be a distraction. And so anyway, I was blessed. I was so blessed to have Marion there. And she was just a real good physical help, but in the spirit, she's just a real blessing. And Lord, I just want to thank you and ask you to bless Marion for being such a blessing. And she is truly she's just full of the light of the love of Jesus and grace. And I thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for Marion and all the Marions out there. Mm-hmm. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Yeah, does she still drive?
Uh-huh.
Awesome. Here you go, Marion. Amen. Thank you, Lord.
One other thing. She asked me about my eye, and I thought about what you were saying Tuesday. You know, if anybody says anything to us about any obvious things that we're waiting for healing on. And I always confess when people ask me that Jesus loves me and that by his stripes I'm healed. And so, but she was asking me real pointedly what it was. And I just, I wouldn't confess. I told her it was, when people do ask me, I tell them it's a trial of my faith if they really want to dig. And, but I told her that and just confessed that, you know, the healing scriptures and scriptures of faith. And she just smiled and she just, but I was thankful for your little exhortation on Tuesday night about that, because I got hit with it Wednesday morning, and I didn't confess anything that I shouldn't have.
Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Because it's here. It's here.
Yep.
Okay. That's good testimony. Thank you, Father. All right. Who was it that had, was that you, Greg? Yeah. Go ahead, brother.
Yeah. Sorry, I didn't observe protocol. I apologize. You know, I've had a bit of a journey on Struggle Street. But you know, what I found, one of the things, just a small testimony, is that along Struggle Street, I found provision pavement to actually run along it there. And the other day, I'm house-sitting at a place in the suburb of the city I live in. It's actually quite a ways out suburb. It's just kind of a satellite suburb. But anyway, out the front of the house, just between this place and the one next door, there's a kind of like a post box there, you know, like you guys would mail in. But it says in the front of it, what does it say? You know, give and take. And there's a little door on it. And people put books in there they want to just, you know, someone else can have, or you can just take a book out of there. And anyway, the neighbour was, you know, I was watering the plants. The neighbour came over and chatted with me, and he was pointing it out. And I said, yeah, I've noticed that. I've actually had grabbed a small book there once. He said, there's a Bible there. And I thought, okay, you know, I know the author. But it was a study Bible, and I'm about to go into... on Friday nights, I help a prayer group, and they're working through a chapter in the Bible, and they're working through Isaiah, which is a really light, easy book, as you know. And the style I go through is like, oh, this is going to be really hard with Isaiah, or Isaiah, as some of you might say. And anyway, this study Bible there has everything I need, you know, to go through it there. And it was just sitting there. So... because I don't have access to my books and stuff. I've got a lot of books, et cetera, but I don't have access to them at the moment. So thank you, Lord. Yep, and how's everyone's lip reading? Because I have no idea what you said, Michael.
Well, I tend to have that problem, is hitting the mute button sometimes, but... No, I said, well, praise the Lord for provisions when you need them. Thank you, Father. Glory, hallelujah. Is that cheesecake done yet, Missy? Okay. Almost. Okay. All right, anyone else? Testimony or praise report? Hey, Tracy. Yeah, Joe, go ahead.
Well, I got a... Okay, there we go. I'm unmuted, sorry. The double mute. I got a testimony and into a prayer request. The past couple days, I've been free from, rejection. I've dealt with it. I don't know how many years into my adult years, you know, for... Chet and Greg, you know, you guys are kind of newer here. I mean, I've given my testimony several times, and but just, you know, most of my adult life, you know, rejection has been one of the big spirits I've battled. And one thing it loves to do, I've noticed, you know, I mean, like the first time I thought I was delivered, I mean, it loves to, I guess, kind of, you know, throw you off. You know, I mean, that spirit, or I guess maybe this is just spirits in general, but from what I've noticed, it always, you know, unforgiveness basically is at the root of all that, you know, and I was dealing with that for a while, but I guess with that, you know, rejection, it loves to tell you, well, hey, you know, it's, gives you the symptoms, you know, instead of kind of dealing with those things. So I guess for so long, I always thought, well, maybe this is something else, you know, it was all that, rejection, but I've seen, just my mood has kind of been a little bit brighter, especially at work. I mean, I work in a pretty negative environment, you know, so I mean, it's kind of crazy how the spirits in you can kind of attract you to other individuals with the same kind of spirits, you know, and I've noticed that with, you know, the last, especially the last job at this job, not so much, but kind of, but yeah, I mean, I've noticed just this week, for one thing, the, you know, that spirit's really trying to get back into my life. I mean, you know, it's been there for many years. So it's thinking, you know, it's thinks, hey, I have a ride in this place. I've been here for many years and I ain't going nowhere. So it's been bombarding me big time and other coworkers, you know, a lot of harsh comments, a lot of, you know, rude things people have said to me. Normally I would have felt, you know, rejected before, but I mean, I'm onto it now. I've definitely discerned, like, oh, hold up, you know, yeah, this is the spirit trying to get back in my life. And, you know, so I've definitely been attacked a lot more, you know, so it's, but that's the prayer request. You know, I mean, the testimony was thank the Lord I've been delivered from this, but this week alone, I mean, nothing out of the ordinary, but a little bit different than, you know, I guess the past several months. I've been bombarded here, you know, just a lot of random harsh comments from people being a little bit, you know, nastier, I guess you could say, than, you know, usual. And I know it's that spirit trying to get back into my life, you know, trying to set up residence again because it was kicked out. So I could, you know, if Michael, or I mean, anybody, if you feel led, or I mean, well, you know, I could agree. I mean, or, you know, agree with me, it doesn't matter. I could use some prayer for some grace to really stand against it, because I'm thinking this one definitely wants to get back in.
It's also a test of your faith to see if you're going to believe, you know, that you have been delivered. And that's the overcoming power, of course, that we talked about, you know. Praise God, you're getting a hold of it. And, man, I tell you what, that's awesome. Thank you, Father. Lord, we just ask and we pray that you give him great and bold faith to believe that these demons won't back in, but they ain't coming. In Jesus' name, we thank you, Lord, that Joe has the faith to believe your word, and the word says he's not under the curse. And Lord, we just praise you that you have got him on that road to that overcoming power. And we praise you for it, Father. We know that the demons love to sit out there and to make us stumble and fall, but we're not going to. We just pray for Joe. We pray our faith. We put our faith with him that he's going to endure in this trial of his faith to see the victory. And we praise you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, that you are giving. You have already given Joe this overcoming power against the enemy and the authority to bind him up and cast him out of his life. And Father, we praise you for that in Jesus' name. And Lord, just make it known to everybody that these things that come before us is not the people's fault. You know, it's just a trial of their faith. And we praise you, Father, that Joe is receiving and he's exercising his faith every day at work. And we praise you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
That's a good testimony, Jeff.
Yeah, amen. Amen. Thank you.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord. Amen.
Yeah, Chet, go ahead.
I just wanted to ask Joe, what kind of work do you do? Where do you work at?
I work for, it's called Taylor Logistics. I drive a stand-up forklift. We ship out, we're the shipping company for Blue Buffalo dog food. They're under General Mills. So, okay. Yeah.
I got you. Well, I want to share something with you. The company I'm with now, I've been there for over a decade. So these guys knew the old me, and they know the new me. And, man, it was a battle. I used to hate my job. I hated my job. And then I got born again, and it was like, oh, wow, I love my job, because now that's my mission field. And I do heating and cooling work in the oil fields of Texas. So, in other words, what I'm saying is I'm driving hours every day to different locations constantly. But my coworkers, it was a battle, Joe. When I really first started walking in it, they didn't believe and they mocked me and they just thought, oh, you're crazy, man. You done lost it. But after a few years went by, kind of had a chance to pray for just about everybody for one thing or another. You know what I'm saying? And now they're coming to me. They'll come to me. Hey, man, my grandma, man, will you please pray? And, you know, the guys have all seen, ate lunch with me and watched me pray for people and get healed. And now the guys that used to attack me, or the guys that are, we're in a restaurant eating lunch or something, and they'll be like, hey, you need to let that guy pray for you. You know what I mean? So it's kind of come full circle, though. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. You just keep on keeping on, man. You just keep on going, and you'll come around, I promise.
Amen. Amen. Oh, yeah. I agree. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Father, for your overcoming power. What's happening, Babe Nelson?
Well, I was just listening, you know.
Okay.
Me and Joe got a little share folder. I'm putting a few more things in there for him. You can look at later for listening from David. But how's it going, everyone?
Cheesecake's almost done.
I see that. I commented. I gave Misty credit for making cheesecake for everyone here. I thought that was awesome.
Fine.
You know, that was a good night to come on, I tell you.
Amen. Okay. Anybody else? Misty, you've been put on the spot, girl.
I did it to myself. Yeah.
Okay, Tim, go ahead.
I just wanted to, you know, kind of remind Joe and anybody else that's in the work environment and you know, they're surrounded by people that are caught up in worldly things, that right now, this season, you know, it's supposed to be this joyous season of the year, but for a lot of people, they're stressed out. They're financially stressed out. Their time is stressed out. Their relationships, they don't have, you know, enough of anything. And it opens up them to other demons that, you know, or, you know, the demons have got a freer rein on them. And so you're going to be with people that aren't as good as they usually can be or usually are. And so you got to keep your defenses up and, you know, just be aware of that, because there is a lot of stress and a lot of people getting, you know, angry and, you know, fighting over parking places and the last toy on the shelf or whatever else. And so I noticed that when I was, you know, celebrating Christmas and stuff, but until I got back to being in the Lord, Christmas really wasn't a joy. It was a stressor. And so you're going to be surrounded by people that are being affected by that. So keep your guard up and, you know, keep the shield up and just be ready for it.
Amen. I go along with that too. All right. Y'all get your mind off that cake, bless God. Okay, anyone else?
Yeah, I was going to say the same thing. I agree with Tim. It's, this time of year is hard on people. I felt so bad the other day. I've seen I go around and sometimes going around the machines, I find mail still left over from the night before, and I picked this one piece of paper up. It was a notification that they're going to shut the power off or something. And I felt bad because on the top we had canceled it and it said Merry Christmas. Like, oh boy, what a Merry Christmas that is. Notification for shutting off your power.
Amen. All right, anyone else? Five loaves and two fishes. Yep. Okay, yeah, Marilyn, go ahead.
Just back to Joe here real quick. I want to pray for you for just a minute, Joe. When Michael was praying for you, and it was like I could see this demon sticking his leg out trying to trip you. And but we're going to pray against that. So, Lord, I just thank you and praise you that we have the authority over all serpents and scorpions and all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall in any wise hurt us. Joe is covered by the blood. He's covered by the blood of Jesus, and you have no authority here And I command that demon of rejection. We just whacked your legs off. You cannot stick your leg out and try to trip him up, because he's covered with the blood of Jesus. Father, I just thank you and praise you that you're giving Joe bold faith, that you're pouring out and keeping a spirit of repentance and faith on him. His heart is clean and before you. And if we confess our sins, you're faithful and just to forgive our sins and to cleanse us of all unrighteousness. And I just thank you and praise you that this demon is gone. It's gone. It doesn't have any legs to walk on. It doesn't have any leg to trip you up. It's gone in the authority of the mighty name of Jesus. And Father, thank you. Thank you for doing that for our brother Joe and for all of us. And we thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. We thank you, Father. Yeah, Dave.
Yeah, one of the things I was thinking about, and actually this week I had a dream earlier, than it kind of falls in line with this. And if you think about it, and this is a bad example, but it's true. You know, whenever somebody goes to an allergist, they usually start giving them those allergy shots. And pretty soon what they're doing, they're actually starting to fill them with the same thing that bothers them all the time. Whatever the allergen is, whatever you're allergic to, they start giving you that more and more doses. So if your body gets to the point that it overcomes it, and it's no longer has a problem with that coming into your system, because your body builds up an immunity to it. Well, that's how God treats all our problems, especially the demonic ones and stuff, is initially they overrun us. And then when we come to the Lord and he starts giving us victory, he gives us victory over it, but then when he starts to pull back a little bit, he wants that same affliction to come on us a little bit. So we start getting our power over it, and we start getting our ability to work our spiritual warfare against it, where we start understanding it and we're fighting against it. And when it's no longer overpowering us, it may be something that irritates us, but we catch it early enough and we start fighting our battles for it. So it can't come on us anymore. And that's what my dream was about, because I was in Taekwondo for a number of years. And one of the dreams he was showing me was, now I'm going to stand up, I'm going to start fighting these battles. And so I had me, all of a sudden I'm standing up and I'm like showing people in the class how to fight this demon. And I'm using my Taekwondo and he's attacking me, but I'm deflecting it and I'm holding him back. I'm not going after him to fight the battle, but when he comes to fight me, I can hold him back. I can deflect whatever he's throwing at me without getting hurt. And I'm showing people how to protect themselves without getting hurt, not to let it come in, but not getting hurt at the same time, for protecting you, for blocking what he's coming at you with. So, and that's what he's trying to show us here, is in this battle we're in, we learn how to block the enemy, and at the same time, we're showing others how to defend themselves, to block the enemy coming against us, but to do it in a way that we don't get hurt. We see it coming, we still hold it back, it doesn't hurt us, but we're aware of what's going around us. That's what it is when you're fighting somebody. You're aware of your circumstance with them real quick, and you're fully focused on them, and whatever they're doing, you're kind of flowing with it. You're not allowing it coming into your area to hurt you, but you're controlling it too at the same time, and you're not allowing the enemy to come through.
Amen. Did you get delivered of that?
Of fighting?
Yeah. No, yeah. Taekwondo.
Yeah, it was kind of fun in my day, but, you know, I don't think I can do it anymore.
Yeah. All right. Anyone else? What was that? It's ready, Missy. That sounded like a ready button. No. Everybody's sitting here with bated breath. They're waiting on that cheesecake to get ready. Oh, my. I can taste it. My goodness. I can taste it. Anyway, y'all want to hear a good story I heard today? There was this missionary, and this true story. This happened back in the early 50s. And now, missionary was in Africa, and he'd been over there, and he'd gone back home for a visit and came back and got into the mission field again. And he went to the tribe where he had been ministering, and they had told him that one of the little girls had been kidnapped by another tribe. And so he gathered up one of the interpreters. He didn't know the language. He knew some of it, but he couldn't follow along too good. And they went over to the next tribe, but this is normal. They'll steal one of their children, and they'll have to go get it and barter with them and give them whatever, you know. So he gathered up his trinkets, and him and the interpreter took off. And when they got to that tribe, the tribe always hangs some meat out before you get to the tribe, to the village, and they'll cook it, and it'll be hanging there, and you're supposed to take a little piece of it and eat it to show them that you're friendly, you know, whatever. He said, but the only problem was that meat had been there for about 3 months, you know, and kind of putrid and stunk and all that. But that's the tradition. So you have to cut a little piece off and eat it. And they blessed it and they ate it and they didn't get sick. So they went on in, and he had some bunch of trinkets to give for the child. They got the child. They bartered for the child. And they finally got the child, but it was too late in the evening for them to go out. So they spent the night in a grass hut. That's what they had to live in over there. And they spent the night in a grass hut. And long about midnight, they said, that they heard all this racket outside. He asked the interpreter, what's going on? He said, they're coming to get the child back and take the trinkets too. He said, that's what they're fixing to do, and they're fixing to kill us too. He said, well, what can we do? And he said, well, we can do one of two things. We can either get killed in here or get killed out there. One of the, So the guy prayed. He said, let's pray. And so they prayed. They prayed God's protection upon them, and said, when they walked out the door, the missionary walked out the door and said, all of us, he said, that there was a bunch of these tribe members, men, that had these great big knives. He said, well, one whack would have whacked your head off, you know. And he said they were standing there. And then all of a sudden, they just went down on their faces and started worshiping him. And he said, he asked the interpreter, he said, what's going on? He said, they said that you're a god. You're a god. What do you mean I'm a god? He said, when you came out, said there was two great big 9-foot angels that came out beside you with 4 or 5 foot swords in their hands. And, you know, when that happens, said they were just bright as day. And said when that happened, they knew that they were gods, you know. And, of course, the end of the story was that they made it home with the little girl safely. That was, and then when they got back home in the States, a lady came up to him and said, were you in some kind of trouble at such and such a date at midnight? And they figured out the time sequence. And he said, well, as a matter of fact, yeah. She said, I had the Holy Spirit get me out of bed at 10:30 Now, this is this time over here, 10:30, and I prayed through until 12, until I got an ease, until I got this peaceful feeling that everything was okay. And he said, well, that's the, and he told her what happened. And so she had prayed in the spirit. She didn't know who it was, other than she thought it might have been him. She said, I just had an inkling it was him. I didn't know for sure. And that's why she asked him the question. So you see what prayer means to a lot of people. You could be, when God wakes you up in the middle of the night or in the middle of the day, he gets you to, wants to start praying in the spirit. You don't know why, just do it, because somebody may be in trouble. I thought that was an awesome, awesome testimony of God's goodness, you know. And we just need to be obedient to him, to be led by the Spirit at all times. Praise God. How many of you ever done that? Had to get up in the middle of the night, didn't want to, but you knew that you had to because somebody was in trouble. Yeah, amen. Thank you, Jesus. And we just pray in the Spirit until we get that peace in our heart. One other thing I want to say about that. There was a mother and a dad. This is a long time ago. I've read about this many years ago. There was a mother and dad that lived on a farm. I don't even remember where it was. It was overseas somewhere. And they lived on a farm. And they always, you know, farmers always get up early, go out and feed the chickens and milk the cows and what have you, all the chores that have to be done in the morning time. And they had a daughter that was a missionary overseas somewhere. And anyway, one morning this farmer got up and he went outside, and he didn't get just down the path a little ways when the Holy Spirit checked him. And he went back inside, and his wife was sitting there cooking breakfast. She said, what's wrong? He said, I don't know, but we have to pray. He said, our daughter's in trouble. And so they prayed, and they prayed. They prayed through noon. Then they prayed to 3 or 4 o'clock in the afternoon. And then they prayed till 10:30 that night until it finally, he got up. He said, she's okay. And both of them actually got up out of the floor. In the kitchen, still praying. You see, what God is showing us is that don't give up. Don't quit too quick. Because what happened, there was an outbreak of a dangerous disease wherever this girl was. And she had contracted it, and it was so dangerous that nobody, once they got it, ever lived from it except her. Because she was had already died, pulled a sheet over her. And because of the prayers of mom and daddy, she woke up, she came, flipped that sheet back, and was perfectly healed because of mom and dad's prayer. They didn't give up too soon. And that's why God wants us to endure in our faith until we get that release from God in our prayers on those type of situations. That's one type of prayer. It's one type of faith too. A lot of times we like to do that McDonald's praying, don't we? Go up to the drive-in thing there and get a burger and get on the road. But sometimes God wants us to just pray until we get the release. That's just one thing that, you know, that's one of those importunity prayers. You just pray until, because you don't know what's going on. You don't know. You don't have a clue. But you know something's wrong. And if you don't know what's going on, you don't know what you're praying, you better just keep on praying until you do get that release. And somebody going to be rising up out of the bed of affliction. Glory to God. Amen. Go ahead, Chet. Hey, Tracy. Hey, girl. Good to see you again. Man, that's the first time we've seen you in years. Not really.
Amen. No, I was just going to share, I've had the Lord wake me up 3 o'clock in the morning, and I'm just sitting straight up in the bed wide awake, and I just got that feeling that just that knowing that I got to pray, you know, in tongues, you know what I mean? And I've had it take hours before it would lift. And sometimes I would find out later what it was about, and sometimes I never had a clue, never did find out what it was about, but I knew that I was supposed to be praying, you know? So I know what you're saying for sure. I prayed one time and ended up my stepson, and I didn't know it at the time. He had overdosed. He was in another state, and he had overdosed, a drug overdose, and I had no idea. But I was just like, I got to pray, and I prayed and prayed and prayed. And I told my wife at that time, I was like, I don't know what that was about. And then the next morning, we found out that he had overdosed, but they were able to revive him and get him back. And I was like, wow, that's what that was about. So you never know. You just got to be obedient.
Amen. Thank you, Father. Thank you. Tracy's making cookies. Missy's making a lemon cheesecake. Man, we're going to have us a party here shortly. Amen. All right. Anybody else? Yeah, Missy.
Now, I'm not preoccupied with the cheesecake. It's out of the oven now. But when I was down there in Tennessee, I think it was Monday morning, Vanessa asked for prayer for her eye. She had a bloodshot eye. And I had one of those headaches that the enemy attacks me with. And the Lord told Michael to they actually prayed for Vanessa and then prayed for me. And the Lord told Michael to have Vanessa pray for me and that we would both be healed. And since then, I've had trials with that. Like today was the worst, you know. I'll feel this wanting to come on, and I'll rebuke it. And today, it was trying to creep up on me. I kept rebuking it, and finally, you know, I said, okay. I just really strongly rebuked it. I said, you are not coming on me. I am healed, you know. And the enemy tries to put all these things into your mind and tries to get you to accept it, you know, or think about it or whatever. And I just been casting everything down. And so, like this last time that I rebuked it today, I just went on my merry way, and it just went away. I didn't think about it. It went away, you know. But it wasn't real bad, you know. It's like, you know, I think anybody can understand that when you're in pain, it's hard to do anything sometimes and not think about it, you know. I know, so it's just like the enemy was trying to tell me that that, you know, I'm going to get tried with this, and I'm going to get a really bad headache, and that my trial is going to be, you know, well, you got to sit and you got to read the word and just ignore this and read the word no matter what, you know. And I'm like, no, I don't receive that. I am not going to have to go through that. You're defeated. I'm healed. I'm delivered. You know, just, you know, and so it's just like stupid stuff, you know. It's like a trial of, you know, the enemy telling you lies and just like bringing condemnation. You know, you haven't really overcome until you can sit there and refuse to, like before, I've told people, you know, when I get one of them headaches, I can't read. It's hard for me to read. And the enemy was trying to tell me, well, you know, that's not true. You got to be able to pass this trial. You got to be able to go through one of those situations and refuse to let it get you down. I'm like, no, I don't receive that. I am healed. I am delivered. I no longer get headaches. You're gone. I rebuke you. I don't receive that. That's a lie. It's just like all kinds of just trying to come at me different directions. It's crazy. So, but thank you, Lord, that I am healed and I'm delivered. And that was 2,000 years ago.
Uh-oh. She got froze. All right. You better check on that lemon cheesecake. All right. Anyone else? While she's trying to get back on. Hey, Andrew. How's it going, bud? All right. Awesome.
Actually, today I got to talk to someone at my work. He was talking about something that happened in the news recently. And I forget what it was about, but I asked him, because I know he's not a Christian. I said, does that sound like it's holy to you? And he went, no. And I said, does that sound like it's anointed to you? And he went, no. And I go, how do you know these things? And hopefully it gets him to think, you know. So I forget what he is. He's got some kind of real new religion he's into. I don't know what it's called anymore, but I remember looking it up on the internet. It's the devil. He's believing in the devil and he doesn't even know it. I can't come out and tell him that. So hopefully there'll be an opening there at work.
Amen. Well, we can pray that God would open his eyes, you know, his spiritual eyes. What's his name?
His name is Phil.
Phil?
Yeah.
Okay, Lord.
Employed. Well, not he's new. He's been there for a few years. But he's a very argumentative type of person, too.
And okay.
Got to be careful around him.
Yeah. God can do it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, Father, we just ask that you, the Lord of the harvest, send somebody there that he would listen to. And that would open his eyes up to see, Lord. And we're going to claim his salvation. Thank you, Lord, for doing this for Phil. Phil, you come on into the kingdom in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Grant repentance to him, Father, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Glory, hallelujah. I believe it. Thank you, Lord. Uh-oh. Missy Spike, did you get it out of the oven?
That isn't what happened. Was my Wi-Fi went out again. Right in the middle of me giving my testimony, the enemy was trying to shut me up. He didn't like it.
Yeah. Amen.
Rebuke the name of Jesus. We command this Wi-Fi to not go out, and we rebuke the enemy and forbid it to make it go out again in Jesus' name.
Amen. Tracy, you making Christmas cookies? Sugar cookies with sugar all over it. And cinnamon and lemon. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Okay. All right. All right. Anyone else got a test, you know, something they'd like to share? Sound like it's what this going to be tonight.
I was remembering on that dream, that fighting dream. One of the things I did, and you do that sometimes, I remember seeing it happen, was when we would fight, we would like stamp our foot at the guy and move, jerk real quick, just to get the guy to move. And the Lord kind of impressed me not to do that. He said, no, I don't want you, you know, going after people, going after these demons, like you're going to chase them down and you know, you're going to take care of it. You know, you're trying to force the fight. I just want you to stand and protect yourself. Stand your ground, essentially, which is by what Ephesians says, chapter 6, stand your ground, you know. So that's part of it. It's like you don't have to go out and fight the fight, find the fight, but stand your ground when it comes to you. Protect yourself, you know. Don't let them come in.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Go ahead, Chet. You had your hand up there a little bit. You have something you want to say?
Yeah. Well, I was just going to share with you guys. I don't know, you know, how much you guys are have been around much deliverance, but we see this a lot. And it's actually demonic, you know, the demons of boys and boys, they like to affect computers, telephones. But I don't know how many times in deliverance we would have somebody come in and maybe be on the phone and they'll say, my phone's fully charged, and the devil will attack the battery and it'll go dead while they're in a deliverance. Or we've even had instances where we were praying with people and the devil would turn the lights off in the house and the people would have to get out of their chair, walk across the room. They're the only one home, and turn the light switch back on. But we've prayed over it a ton of times. It's crazy, but it's the devil does not like it when we get to doing, you know, praying, deliverance, all that stuff.
Yeah, we cast that stuff off when we see the activity real quick. We bind it in the name of Jesus. We won't allow it. We put it into it real quick.
Yeah, Tracy and Greg could both probably share a lot of that stuff we've seen in deliverance.
Yeah. Tracy shared some on this fellowship before. Praise God. Yeah. We prayed for some people, actually, a few times.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
We had a hard drive that had all of our stuff on it, every bit of our stuff on it, that broke down. They said there's no way to get this stuff off of there. And so we said, okay, that's the great thing about God. When you get down to where you can't do nothing else, you go to God, right? Instead of going to him first like we should have. But we went ahead and prayed over that thing and just left it and forgot about it for a while, and then came back one day and said, let's just check that thing out. Guess what? It worked. When the computer guy said, there's ain't no way you can get that off of there without costing a lot of money. It was going to cost quite a considerable amount of money to reclaim all that stuff off of there. And the way they have to do that, they have to take the disk out of there and try to put it in another one and, you know, do all that magic that they do, these computer techs do. But anyway, that's the Lord restored the whole thing. Matter of fact, I'll tell you what else he did when he did that. We had a bunch of books that had been transcribed on there but hadn't been edited. God even edited the books and got them ready to be published. that's what God did. He certainly did that. Yeah, Tracy, go ahead, girl.
All right. You provoked me to talk. No, there was Michael, I remember there's a homosexual that reached out and said he's tired of the lifestyle that the Lord's shown him, he's in sin and he wanted to get born again. So we prayed, you know, he gave his heart to the Lord, and then we were setting him up for deliverance, you know, cast that thing out. And I promise you, he was in another country, I don't remember which one, maybe Brazil, but the devil blew his computer up. And then he got a backup computer. It blew up. He went to another guy's house, a friend, and his computer blew up. Then his phone blew up. Four devices. The devil took out four devices, and he was just awestruck. I think it freaked him out. He unfortunately never came back. But this is just while he was trying to read the PDF to repent. So isn't that crazy? It happens. Chet's right. It happens. We've seen it many times, you know.
Many times.
Yeah, praise God. That's the thing about what we've learned here is don't put God in a box, you know. One time, this was back when I was living back in Arkansas, I had a friend of mine call me, Bill. I had prayed for him while he was in prison. And when he got out, he came back and we hooked up again. And I was ministering to him, but he called me one day. He was a carpenter. He called me one day. He said, Michael said, my van won't go in reverse. I said, what do you mean it won't go in reverse? He said, well, it'll go in reverse, but it won't back up. And I said, okay, put your hand on the dashboard. What? I said, put your hand on the dashboard. We're going to command that thing to go and go in reverse. He said, okay. So we did. I commanded that thing to go in reverse. Next time he put it in reverse to work like it's supposed to. And then so I hung up. He called me back about 2 minutes later. He said, well, it worked. So he said, the reverse is working like just like it's supposed to. I said, well, yeah, you didn't think anything else, did you? He said, well, I had my doubts, but praise God that he did it, you know. And, of course, that instilled in him not to put God in a box, you know. I can't tell you how many times I've been with David on empty. It's just ridiculous the way that man runs around on empty on that stupid car he has all the time, you know. It's just crazy. He runs around. I just quit after a while. I said, are you going to put gas in that thing? He said, well, I don't know, maybe, you know. And so he'll stick we got 5-gallon buckets at the house where we use them out there in case we need something, you know, for lawnmower or whatever. And he'll stick it in there every now and then. I said, why don't you go to the filling station? It's a whole lot easier and you can get more gas in there, you know. He said, well, if I think about it, I will. So that's the way I've lived for these last 8 years. Is I don't even look at his fuel gauge anymore. We just go. It's just I just believe with him. Have to. Oh, my.
Yeah, amen. I got a sister that lives in Colorado, and I just prayed for her vehicle a couple of months ago. It broke down, and she called me. And I'm like, well, let's pray. And prayed, and she tried it again, and she'd actually tried to start it until the battery was, like, dead. She said, it's just ticking when I turn the key on. And I said, well, let's pray. And we prayed, and she went and started it up. And she's like, oh, my gosh. I'm like, yeah, pray first next time.
Amen. Yeah, I can't tell you how many times that's happened to us, too. Somebody call. That's awesome. God is so awesome. You know, and he loves to help us too. He loves to do those little things in our lives so we won't put him in a box. A lot of people have heard this on this conference call, but I don't know if did I tell about the broke line, broke water line in my shop? Y'all heard that one? Well, I know Missy has and Denny has, but Chet and Greg hadn't heard it. Tracy hadn't heard it. Anyway. I was in my shop back home. I have a large shop back home that I did a lot of work myself. And in the mornings, I'd get up real early, and I'd have to go uptown to go to work. And I'd have to squeegee out water in that shop. And I said, what is going on? And I didn't have time to fix it. And I did that for about a week, you know. I'd come out there, and in the floor, there'd be water laying in the floor. I said, good gracious. And I'd have to squeegee it out the door. And I did that. And one morning I was so mad. I said, I saw that water in there. I said, in the name of Jesus, that water line be fixed right now in Jesus' name. Never had another drop of water come out of that thing until I moved to Tennessee. And as soon as I left that place, it wasn't a month later that I got a call from the folks back home. And I said, well, I know what it is. There's probably a broken PVC line in there. And when I finally went back home and was able to fix it, folks, that line was just completely away from the other line. But God had fixed it so that it wouldn't leak supernaturally for those many years that I was there. Now, that was God there. That's God can fix anything. He can fix a washing machine. How many times have you ever had your washing machine? You know, I'd rather let God do it than have to pay somebody to do it, wouldn't you? Praise God. That's faith. All right. Anybody else got a story? Yeah, Joe.
No, I was just going to say, I've run without gas before. I remember like hearing David's testimonies. I said, let me give it a try myself. And I was just kind of like, because I mean, I used to run out of gas at times and I'd freak out like, oh, where's the nearest gas station? Where's the nearest gas station? But I think the last couple times coming home from Tennessee, even, you know, when I visited, I think I would pass up the nearest gas station. And I just, you know, relax. I said, well, you know, God will take care of it. And the arm would go all the way down to E and then the light would fling on, you know, when you're totally empty. And I'd run that thing to the ground. I mean, run that thing empty, you know, probably bone dry almost and go fill up. But it's, or even some days at work, you know, I forgot to fill up the night before and I was on E 7 to 10 miles to work. I'd just drive it like it was nothing. So yeah, God can do that. But no, I like David's testimonies when he first started learning about these things. And he drove, like, I think he said he drove halfway across the state or couple states away. I was like, wow. That's awesome. So amen.
Amen. Yeah, there's a lot of things that God will do that we don't, you know, when I first came in, I knew he'd heal people. I knew he'd deliver people. You know, the little things in life you don't think about him doing, but he does them. He does anything and everything. He calms the seas. He can split blizzards. He can make tornadoes go away. He can make lightning quit striking your mountain that's been knocking out stuff. He can do it all, man. He put gold in this mountain out here. Y'all understand I got gold all up inside this mountain here that we live on. It's called Sunshine Mountain that David and I live on. And there's gold nuggets in there, big as your foot, man. I'm going to tell you, there's gold. I know they are. Y'all sitting there laughing. I'm telling you, they're going to come out one of these days. I'm telling you, I'm going to bring one in here and say, look what I found today. Because I asked the Lord. I asked the Lord here one time. I said, you know, Lord, I'd like to find me a 1-pound gold nugget. Now, I don't know why I limited it to a 1-pound nugget. I should have said a ton, you know. But that's what I said, a 1-pound nugget. And I believe that one day I'm going to take off down through here where I walk all the time, and that nugget's going to be shining right there. And I'm going to pick it up, I'm going to bring it, I'm going to show it to y'all. Na, 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 boo, boo, I fooled you. Just show it to you, you know. I'm going to do it. Because in this area, we understand, we learned that there's a lot of gold in the ground in this area. People found it. Yeah. People have found it. Funny story. One of the men here said he pulled into a tire store and was waiting to get whatever it was that he was waiting to get it. And said this guy drove up and he started talking to him. He said, yeah. He said, I took my dog out today and a stupid bird attacked him. And Tim looked at him and said, what? He said, yeah. I said, a stupid bird attacked him. He said, it was a big bird. He said, Tim, I said, well, what'd you do? He said, well, I tried to shoo him. He didn't shoo. It was bigger than I was. I'm trying to think in my mind, what kind of bird is that, you know, coming around here? And Tim said, well, how'd you get him out? He said, I got my gun out and I shot the silly thing. He said, I killed him dead on a hammer. He said, yeah. He said, I got his foot, his leg right here, and he pulled out an ostrich leg. Somebody's ostrich got out and attacked this man's dog. He didn't know what it was. All he knew was that stupid bird was attacking his dog. And he shot that bird dead. And Tim asked him, said, did you eat it? No, I didn't eat that stupid bird. You can't eat birds like that. But anyway, it's just an old country guy up in the hills, you know. Praise God. But what was interesting about that, he got to talking about the gold in the hills. He said, I've got a brother that owns 3 or 4 banks. He said, because he went out and found all this gold, you know, all over the years. This has been over quite a number of years. And He said he owns a bank, but he has money in a bunch of banks because of this gold that he's found in the hills of Tennessee, right in here somewhere. So that's why we know there's gold here. Anyway, all right. That's all the stories I'm going to tell tonight. Anybody else? I remember one time. I'm going to tell one more. This is a good one. Down on the banks of the Arkansas River many years ago, we were to pray for this little 13-year-old girl. She was born with club feet. Just like this. She'd walk just like that, you know. So we set her up on the rail and prayed for her. And there was some crackling and popping going on. And those things just came out just as straight. The legs did, the feet did, came straight out in front of her. So she jumped off of the rail and started walking. But when she'd walk, her feet would flop like that. And what had happened, the tendon that connects the heel to the leg, you know, that tendon back there, was missing. So I put her back up on the rail, and had her hand on that heel. And we started praying and commanding that thing back in there. And you could feel it coming back in there. God just put it back in there miraculously. Of course, we went to hollering, and she went to dancing. We got on. She was completely healed that day. That was a birth defect that she had. Now her arms was messed up too. She would clap her hands like that, you know, and she'd have to hold her like that. God straightened them's arms and just shoom, shoom, just like that, and straightened them out. Man, I'm telling you what, woo, glory to God. Just like that little kid over in Memphis. I mean, it just pop, pop, and everything was fine. Everything was just normal. And this just happened within seconds, you know. It was awesome. And we can't put God in a box for anybody. When those hard ones come in that you don't want to pray for because you're not sure you got the right faith to for it, pray for them. Watch God. Just trust God because he's the one that's going to do it. It ain't you. Okay, God, it's your turn. Praise God. It's your turn. Blind eyes. Don't worry about it. God can fix them. God can fix them. Just like we talked about last week. What's today? Somebody tell me what day it is.
Today's Thursday, the
20th. Thursday, yeah. Tuesday night we talked about R.W. Schambach and that 26 miracle kid. That was awesome, too. You had something, Chip?
Did you end up watching that? Yeah. I was going to ask Joe, did you watch that? Did you check it out? That's pretty cool, huh? Yeah. You know, I prayed for a girl. It just came to mind when you were talking about the bones and everything in her feet. I prayed for a girl one time. It was in working in a convenience store, and she'd gotten in a fight or got mad and punched a door or something, but she broke all the bones in her finger, like, you know, not her fingers, but the bones, you know, in her hand, and had her finger all jacked up. It was healed up like this. But when I first prayed for her, she was in terrible pain, and she was a cashier at a gas station. And I went in, and I noticed that she was hurting. So I asked her, and I said, well, let me pray for you. So I prayed for the girl, and she loses it. She's like, wow, you know, all the pain left. And she's like, I could feel my heartbeat in my hand for days. She's like, can't hardly sleep. Can't hardly wash my hair, you know. So anyway, I prayed for her and all the pain left. And I was like, man, that's amazing. That's just awesome. And she was so happy. So I'm like, praise the Lord, you know, and I left. Well, I go back like maybe 2 months later, and she's working in the store, and she's got that pinky finger still locked up, you know, and all messed up. And I was like, oh man, your finger's messed up. And she's like, yeah. So I said, well, let me pray for that. She's like, well, it don't hurt no more. And I said, I know, but let me pray for your hand. And that was one of the first times I've ever experienced it. I've experienced it a few times now. Lay my hand on something and feel bones moving and stuff popping and cracking, you know, but I prayed for her finger. And what was so cool is there was like five people standing around in the store, one of the other coworkers. So everybody's standing there and I'm just thinking like, oh Lord, like don't fail me now, you know, but anyway, I prayed and man, you could feel the bones popping and cracking and her bones straightened right out. And I got pictures of before and after. It's really cool. But that's like one of the first times it kind of freaked me out to have my hand on it and I could feel like, you know, feel the bones moving. And I was like, is that you? She's like, no, that's not me. And I was like, oh, this is going to be so amazing. Yeah. But I felt it a lot of times like in a shoulder or back and I lay my hand on them and I can feel stuff like moving back into place or popping. That's just amazing. Just gets my adrenaline stoked.
Amen. David fell off a ladder here one time about 4 or 5 years ago. I was up here in my room and I heard that he was up on the roof caulking, doing some caulking. And we don't lay him on ladders anymore, by the way, so we don't have that problem anymore. But he fell off that ladder and broke his shoulder, injured five of his organs. They're just a terrible mess. And I heard this hollering, and I said, what in the world? And I run out on the balcony here, and I look down. I see David down in the floor groaning. I said, oh, my gracious. And I go down there, and I pick him up. We get him up, get him in the bedroom. He told me what happened. And that day was a Sunday. That was a Sunday. And he had a 2-hour broadcast. And I believe it was Sunday. Yeah, it was a Sunday. He did the broadcast. And how he did it, I don't know. Because it took a little while. He didn't want to go to the doctor. He didn't want to, you know, do anything but just believe God. And his shoulder was just, you could feel up, it was his shoulder. It was his right shoulder. You could just feel up there, the bones were just crushed, just completely crushed. And he was in dire pain up in there. And in his, on his side, he cracked a couple of ribs also, I believe. And he believes it too. And those ribs had gone and injured his liver. The Lord told him it's his liver and stomach and I don't know what all that it injured. And he went downhill fast after that. And Friday, everybody came over here and we was going to pray for him. We was just going to have our Friday night fellowship right here. But David was in bed. And this is the funny part. We thought that people was talking, you know, he's fixing to die, you know, and we had done some other stuff to make me believe that, man, this guy's fixing to buy the farm, you know, and my faith had just absolutely left me until one of the ladies said, y'all quit that, said, this man is not going to die. And so I went upstairs. I came up here in my room and I started repenting. And then I started commanding that body to come back to be healed. But anyway, as I went back downstairs and gathered myself back up, you know, other people had too, walked in there and everybody was crying and all this kind of stuff because David was fixing to buy the farm. He's fixing to go, you know, fixing to go home. And he said, he said, I see the chariots coming. And I forget the whole thing, but it was something like that. I see the chariots coming. Everybody said, oh, my gracious. And he said, yeah, and they're coming quick, too. Something like that. And we knew it was okay after that. But that was the turning point right then. But, you know, he never went to the hospital. His arm is perfectly healed. Everything in him is perfectly healed from that incident. It took, you know, about maybe a month and a half for him to recover to where he could. Every little thing that he did was a victory. You know, I had to take care of him for a few days. But anyway, him enduring in his faith to watch these things happen, because he was in some great pain, I can tell you. He was in some great pain, but he endured. He didn't go get any dope to endure that pain. He just stuck with it, believed God, and God healed him completely from it. Praise God. All right. That's another testimony. Somebody else give me a good testimony about what God's done for you. Tracy, I know you got a bunch of them. And Greg and Chet.
I don't want to be a microphone hog. I could tell testimonies till next year.
Has anybody got any questions on faith? We were going to talk about faith. Well, we're talking about faith. Cookies are beeping. Oh, praise God. We're fixing to get in some cookies and milk. About time for Jeremy to show up.
All right. I'm going to give you guys, I'm going to share one with you. I had a high school friend. Of course, I graduated high school a long time ago, but I hadn't talked to him in decades. But back in school, we played football together, and we were pretty close. So this was only a couple years ago. He had found me on Facebook, like we all have done, I guess, you know, old friends and stuff. But we really hadn't had a communication. He just was kind of watching. And during that time, man, I was posting testimonies on Facebook like wildfire. And he had been watching the testimonies, and I didn't even know that he was sick. I had no clue. And I messaged him and just said, hey, Keith, man, I haven't seen you forever. How you been? And he said, well, can I call you? And I was like, well, yeah, call me. And he called me, and when he called me and I answered the phone and said hello, he was crying. And I'm like, man, what's going on? And he's like, God's been telling me to call you, to have you pray for me. And my pride just wouldn't let me do it. He said, I don't know why. He said, but thank God that you're on the phone with me. Will you pray for me? And mom was like, yeah, you know. And he told me, he said, I think I'm dying. He said he had been in a real, real bad car accident, almost a fatal car accident, like 10 years beforehand. And he had been on so much pain medicine and stuff. That had just ruined his body. His liver was gone. His kidneys were gone. He told me he was passing blood in his stool. He was coughing up blood. Said his lung, he thought he was dying. He told me, he said, I've been selling things, getting ready to be gone. He said, I've actually been selling stuff, getting ready so my kids wouldn't have to deal with it. And man, I just started praying for him, speaking life into him. And not only did he get like a radical healing, he got delivered from all kinds of junk, man. But the Holy Ghost got on him, and I we were on the phone, so I couldn't see him, but I could hear him. He sounded like it was going on, and he was wailing and crying. And he was telling me that he was just on fire, and he kept telling me every muscle in my body is just convulsing all at the same time. And I'm just like, praising God, you know, and I'm just like, I'm praying, I'm laying it down, you know. But yeah, and it was just maybe 10-minute phone call, and he told me afterwards, he said, you know, he said, Chet, he said, I couldn't even walk from my living room to my bedroom without having to stop
stopped in the hallway and leaned against the hall. He said, I was very, very sick. And, of course, all this is confirmed by doctors. You know, doctors were telling him, man, your liver's gone, your kidneys are gone, your heart's having trouble. He was coughing up blood. I mean, he was sick, sick man. He was dying. And God just, bam, just like that. And he told me, he said, I feel like I could go out and run around the house, do laps around the house. And to this day, man, the guy is just awesome. God's moving his life. He'll call me and share dreams and visions and stuff. And he'll tell me that he's helping homeless do, you know, it's just amazing. God is blessing him to be a blessing. And, man, that guy is thriving. And I love to tell that one because I was so close to him as a kid, you know. But it was amazing. God just did it and did it on a phone call. Amen.
Praise God. Amen. Thank you, Lord. All right. Anyone else? Yeah, Missy.
I want to tell you what I'm pretty sure you all didn't hear, part of my testimony, that the enemy cut me off at. Did you hear me telling about what the enemy kept telling me about? I don't think you did because the screen went black, and I think I just thought it was your screen. I thought it was, you know, you just, anyway. So the enemy just kept telling me, you know, like, well, I would say, you know, when I get these headaches, I feel like it's just an onslaught to keep me from reading the word and from praying because I can't concentrate. My head hurts so much and I can't, you know, it's hard for me to read and concentrate and everything. And the enemy was coming back at me and trying to tell me, you know, well, you know, you're going to have to go through that trial. You're going to have to go through that experience of fighting through it and be determined that you're going to sit there and you're going to read the word and not be affected by the pain and da 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 da. And all that stuff. You're gonna have to go through that trial of your faith, and you're gonna have to, you know, it's like the enemy telling me I'm gonna have to pull myself up by my bootstraps, you know, like this is the test, Missy, and this is the test that you're gonna have to go through, is you're gonna have to sit down there and read when your head hurts so bad, and try and read, and I'm like, no. I am not. I am healed. I just kept casting down and telling him that's a lie. I don't have to go through that. I'm healed. I'm delivered. And that's just a lie, you know. That's just stupid stuff that the enemy was trying to tell me, you know. Put me under, you know, legalism and stuff like that, you know. And trying to tell me that, you know, you really haven't been, you know, tested yet. You haven't proved that you really have the faith until you can sit down there and read, you know, and push through it, you know. And I was like, oh my gosh, what a liar. Like, no, I am healed. I'm delivered. And everything that comes my way is nothing but Lyme symptoms, you know, but it's just like, wow. So I just had to share that because that's what the enemy cut me off in saying, I believe. And so I had to share that because it's like he didn't want me to share. I'm determined I'm going to share it.
So. Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Endure in your faith. Praise they God. How's it?
Sneaky buggers, aren't they? Wow. Oh, thanks for sharing that. Oh, yeah. Okay.
I know that Tracy and Greg can share some testimonies because we've seen hundreds of healings on Zoom meetings.
Yeah, Greg, go ahead.
Not that I'm feeling any pressure, but I'll tell you one that may embarrass someone in here. This particular person runs around and heals, you know, he prays for people and they get healed. And anyway, he, or she, just to broaden it out a bit, was in the Zoom room one morning, woke up, back was in pain. you know, one of those, you know, I have no idea what this is like, by the way. I'm sorry, people, I've never had a headache or anything like that. But yes, he or she, you know, it was one of those, you know, kind of warm situations. And I'm thinking, hang on, this is not right. So I said, name. And he or she will remember this, I think. What's the number? What's the number of the pain?
I remember very well.
So yeah, that's kind of the technique I've kind of adopted. What's the pain level? You know, 1 to 10, and people will talk around it, and you know, oh, this is happening, and I say, no, I just want the number. And when we get it, then you know, in the Lord's name, I hit it. And anyway, what happened to it, Chet?
Yeah, no, it totally went away. Just give you guys a real quick rundown. In the past, man, I've had a lot of problems with my back. I've had 2 low back surgeries, and I've had 3 discs in my neck fused. I've got a bunch of titanium in my neck. So during that season, man, I was jacked up and I was hurting. And it was one of those kind of deals where I prayed myself blue in the face trying to get out of it. And, you know, then we started talking about it. And actually, it's funny, but it was in a Saturday morning healing room that I had with another brother in Christ that we would do every Saturday morning, that we would have people come in and we would pray for them to be healed. And then here's me, the guy that's running the Zoom room, and then I can hardly move, you know. But, yeah, Greg prayed for me that morning, and it just, like, was gone. Praise the Lord. You know what's funny? I have never figured that out. Sometimes I can just do it, and it'll just flow. And then sometimes if it's me, it's like, sometimes it's tricky. I don't know. I don't understand it. But there's power in believers, in, you know, in numbers. Amen.
Amen. I'll tell you another one, and thanks, Chet. There's a friend of mine who someone I just visited from time to time back then, who I used to tutor, and I made a visit, and look, you know, this is someone I had on and off prayed for quite some time, who was had all sorts of health problems after a very, very, very bad car accident. But anyway, I had, you know, the night or two previous to dropping in there, been to a place where, well, okay, that's another story as well, where I'd gone, I'd basically been sent by D, if those who know D, to go to this particular woman in a mother's place, this another person, right, to pray over their house, because there's a lot of, like, Catholic emblems and Freemasonry stuff from their past. You know, that's another story. The mother of this particular house, she was actually quite receptive. It was her home, and I remember praying for her. Her legs didn't come together. You know, and this is something that Chet's mate Reggie, you know, had sort of showed me about. So I said, "Put your legs out." And anyway, I had a chat to the legs, and lo and behold, they came together. And I said, "Anything hurt?" She said, "Yeah, my back." I said, "Okay." And so, you know, got the number, and it was an 8. Started praying for you know, over that, and you know, went down to a 5. And so, rightio, went and prayed again, went down to a 3. I mean, I could feel the dark forces closing in behind me for a bit there, and I reminded them who my rear guard is, and they backed away. But it went down to a 3, you know, she went for a walk, and then it went, you know, back down to nothing. And, you know, thereafter, I said, that's Jesus saying hello. And I was telling that story, and look, that particular lady, you know, prayed Christ into her life at that point of time. I was telling that story to my friend, and she said, "What does God think of me?" So I told her, and you know, she had a similar situation with her feet. So I prayed over that, and you know, look, I had my eyes closed when I was you know, calling them together, but you know, seconds later there they are. I thought, I wish I had my eyes open. And I said, what else hurt? She said, well, she had a right wrist in a brace. And that was kind of a permanent thing. And that was, I said, the wrist. I said, all right. And she said, oh, it's going away. So I said, well, better pray quickly, hadn't I, just to chase it off. You know, I mean, and some stage down the track, this particular person was having, look, you know, all the symptoms of a heart attack. I'm not a, you know, I didn't have an ECG and stuff, but, you know, the pain running down their arm. And I'm thinking, do I call, you know, well, you guys had called 911, but it's 000 here. But anyway, I thought, well, hang on a sec. So I had a stern chat to this particular pain that was going there, and it went. And over several days, I was, you know, when I was there, it happened again, two more times. And it got a very stern talking to three times, and it went. Which I'm going, oh, okay. I did tell you about the baby the other day, didn't I? Did I tell you guys about that? The unborn baby?
Huh.
All right, I was in a prayer group a couple of weeks ago, and one of the people there was talking about and prayed for a contact of his daughter's who was fairly heavily pregnant. The baby was not pointing in the right direction at all, and they'd booked a cesarean, and they were all praying for, you know, the doctors to have skill and all that sort of stuff and healing. And anyway, God sort of tapped me on the shoulder and said, might as well just pray for the baby get turned around. I thought, well, good idea. So I did. But, you know, the guy finished praying. And kind of the protocol there is, you know, if you bring something up, you pray for it. I said, look, I just want to, can I just add to that? And anyway, message came through 2 days later, baby's turned around. And he has since been born entirely natural, you know, 10 fingers, 10 toes, everything else, no dramas whatsoever. And the doctors said, you know, it's just a coincidence that happened in 3% of cases. So I go, well, coincidence is one of those miracles where God just chooses to remain anonymous. So that was cool. That was like, you know, I'm in Australia. This one was in Canada. You know, I've had any number of, well, you know, number of times with long distance praying for people. And you know, and things happen. Sorry. Well, that's a good question, Tracy.
Yeah, right.
Has anybody got any what?
Pain.
Oh, pain.
Has anybody got pain like right now?
Yeah. I got pain that I can't get to that lemon cheesecake and them cookies. That's what I got pain about.
Amen. Hey, I got a topic that I would like to talk about one day. And I'm curious to hear from you, Michael, but is anybody ever experienced, like, I call it contact evangelism. Like, you go somewhere and you're praying for somebody, and while you're there, the dude standing behind you gets healed. Like, that's cool, man. And I've had it happen a few times, but I figure, Michael, I figure you could share a few of those with us, huh?
Yeah, I remember in a church setting one time, these two old ladies came in the door, and we'd never seen them before. Came in the door, both of them was old walkers coming in. I don't know, they was probably 148 years old. I don't remember. But they came on in the church and sat down on the front pew. And I wasn't a pastor. Me and the pastor were good friends. I taught him how to go out and evangelize, you know, believe it or not. He was a musician, great musician. And I was teaching him how to do the healing thing, you know. But these two ladies came in, the precious people, precious women. And I went over there and I started talking to the one, and I said, what's the matter, Mama? She said, well, I'm just getting old, wore out, you know, and my back hurts and da-da-da-da-da-da-da. Well, you went through a litany of lists there. I said, you know, if I prayed for you, can you believe that God will heal you? He looked at me kind of funny, and I told her the scripture. I said, Mark 11:24, and he went through that scripture and told her that. And I said, that's what God says. Do you believe what the word says? She said, yeah, I believe it. So the gun impressed me at the time to lift up her legs, and one of them was shorter than the other by about 3 or 4 inches. And so I just commanded the thing to come out, and it came out. Of course, some of you know what I'm talking about. It came right out. And I said, okay, Mama, stand up. And I got the walker out of the way. And she stood up. And I said, where's the pain? She said, it's right back. It's gone. It's gone, she said. I said, well, just walk around the sanctuary. And when she went by her friend jumped up too and was instantly healed and walked with her around the thing. Didn't even have to pray for her, praise God. She went around and did it too. It was awesome. That was just, that's one that was pretty pronounced to me that I remember.
Yeah, those are interesting. I love hearing people give testimonies on those. I know one time we were praying for a guy wanting to be delivered from cigarettes, right? And, you know, praying for him to get set free from nicotine, cigarettes, and all that. And there was another guy there, and he wasn't even asking for prayer. And he was like chain smoker. And, you know, nothing happened. Of course, you know, that's something that really you got to kind of see how it goes or whatever. But anyway, you know, hours later, like, or the next day or whatever, he called like freaking out. He's like, hey, man, he's like, you were praying for that guy. And he said, man, I haven't smoked a cigarette since, you know. And I was like, man, that's amazing. Like, and I tell people when I'm praying or anybody's praying, anybody, and I'm talking to, for deliverance or for healing, man, if the shoe fits, man, you know, kick it off. You know, I'll just tell people. So, like, if it's, like, deliverance for you, grab it. You know what I'm saying? Or if it's healing, man, get it. Anybody. You know, when the presence is in the room, stuff happens. Amen?
Amen. Praise God. Anybody want us, you want us to pray for you to have great and bold faith and bold action? In other words, act on your faith.
Radical boldness.
Yeah, radical boldness. Okay, we're going to pray. Then anybody that wants to join in after me, it'll be fine. Just go ahead. Well, Father, you heard our prayer. We've been listening to some of these great testimonies, Lord. These great testimonies of you doing these healings and miracles that you performed for us over the years. It just shows us how much you love us, Lord, and how much you want us to walk into this supernatural spiritual walk that you want us to walk in, Lord. I'm asking, Father, that you give us all. We're going to raise our hands like a funnel, Lord. We're asking that you fill us up with your Holy Spirit, with boldness and faith and the wherewithal to act on that faith, Father, from this point on. We thank you, Father, that your Holy Spirit is doing that in us now. In Jesus' name, we praise you, Father, that you're doing everything that we've asked. You're filling us up with that great and bold faith to believe that when we pray, we can trust you to follow through without any hesitation, Lord. And I thank you for that, for each and every one of us. In Jesus' mighty name, praise you, Lord, for this great bunch of spiritual warriors that you're bringing up here. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Glory be to God. Thank you, Jesus.
Amen. I agree. Amen. I want to add to that. Father, I thank you for everyone in this room tonight. Father, I just thank you that we are all here in fellowship. And Father, I ask that you just give anybody here that's wanting it, give them radical boldness. Fear is a liar, and we command fear to go off of them right now. We command fear to leave them and never to return. Lord, I ask that you just pull fear out of them, pull it out and the roots to go with it, and give them a radical boldness to just do the work of your kingdom, Father, to approach people without fear, to approach people with a boldness, and to be able to pray for people without worry and doubt. And Father, I just thank you that you just mark them for the kingdom right
now in the mighty name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Amen.
Praise you, Father. I receive in Jesus' name. I receive all of that in the name of Jesus. And I know everybody here does too. Thank you, Lord. Praise be to the Lord God Almighty, who was, who is, and who is forevermore. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Praise be to God. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Father. Glory. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Ooh, my. Thank you, Father.
I feel the anointing on that when you were just doing that, brother. Yep. It's hitting me hard.
Yep. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Thank you, Father. Glory. Hallelujah. Ooh, my. Thank you, Jesus. Praise you, Father. Glory. Hallelujah. Those who receive, it's done. I'm telling you, it's there. It's there. Now start using it. Start using it. If one of your family members calls you, this is mama or daddy or uncle or brother or sister or whoever it is, you say, man, I've just been struggling with this. Are you ready to quit struggling? You know, tell them that. Just, are you ready to quit struggling? Because I'm fixing to pray for you and God's fixing to heal you from the top of your head to the bottom of your feet. Glory to God. And just get excited about it and watch what happens. My. Ooh. One more quick one. I got one quick one. I had this pastor with me, this same musician pastor with me one day, and we was going through the neighborhood. I was beating on doors and asking people if they wanted me to pray for them. I was doing like Chet did back then. I got a lot more to do now, but back then I'd love to do that. And this old lady came to the door, and she had palsy. She was doing this number, you know. She was doing jumping around and all that. I guess that's palsy or something like that. No, not palsy. What do you call that?
Parkinson's,
okay. Well, she couldn't sit still. And she wasn't doing it as pronounced as I'm doing it, but I'm just trying to show you how she was. Her hand was doing like this, you know, and couldn't hold it still. And I said, ma'am, I said, I'd like to pray for you. And she said, would you? I said, I sure would like that. And she was a nice old lady. She didn't stand but about 4 foot tall, seemed like, you know. And so we did. I put my hand, I grabbed her hand, and I commanded her to quieten down in the name of Jesus, because I didn't know, you know. I'm wanting her to quieten down because she looked like she's been restless, very restless. And I said, body, you just quieten down in the name of Jesus. And I turned loose of her, and I said, thank you, ma'am. She said, well, thank you. And she was as steady as a rock. From that time, Larry, the guy that was with me, he said, did you see that? Did you see that? I said, yeah, it was cool, wasn't it? He said, yeah. I said, I didn't do nothing. All I did was pray. We just believed, you know. It was God that did it. And he said, I know, man, I ain't never seen that before. I said, you stick with me, brother. you know how men are. But anyway, that was an awesome time. He really got to see God work. And after that, we saw a lot more miracles after that. Well, praise God. So what are we going to talk about next Tuesday night? Has anybody got a subject? I know that Chet said we're talking about people that get healed. We've been talking about that for a while. Let's get on the subject. What do you think? Anybody got something they'd like to specifically talk about? The man-child ministry or the bride? What is the bride or whatever? Whatever you think. Anybody got a subject? Yeah, Greg, go ahead.
Could be a tricky one. You know, I have been, like, with healing and stuff, I've been amazed, and I've realized how it operates, etc. But one thing I've noticed, and this, you know, and this is, often, you know, it's very regular across the body of Christ, people who are just being debilitated, you know, financial lack and things keep happening, etc. And, you know, being there, doing that, not doing it, you know, but yeah, how do we pray for that? Given that, you know, the church has gone through this whole prosperity thing. And then before that, they've been through, you know, the whole poverty is pious stuff. You know, how do we pray for, how should we be praying for that? And two, you know, what's the right attitude we should have to that sort of stuff?
You're talking about the praying for the people that are in those types of churches or what?
No. The situation. So let's say, you know, person, okay. You know, I have a contact in Tennessee who, look, stuff has been happening in, you know, that family's life over and over and over. And it's beyond, you know, a series of unfortunate events. It's obviously, it seems very orchestrated. And it's not coming from necessarily, it's coming through human elements, but, how we deal and pray with that, because I don't necessarily think it's a you know, cast a demon out kind of thing.
Okay, yeah, we could talk about that. We could talk about that Tuesday night. why do certain people seemingly have a walking under the curse all the time?
Yeah,
and are you talking about Christian people?
Yeah. Oh, yes.
Okay. Oh, yeah. We can do that. We can talk about that.
I can see how the prosperity doctrine thing got a grip, but it's mm-hmm. not. It's not right. I won't argue with that one little bit.
Well, there's a lot of things that can be involved in that. If you're in that false revival church, that's something that brings a curse all around them too. But anyway, we'll talk about that Tuesday night. Yep, that's sure. A good subject. Amen. Well, Lord, we just thank you for another awesome night. Father, we just ask and we pray that everybody got a fused, big, great big thing of faith and bold and what was it you called it, Chet?
Radical boldness
in everybody. And Lord, we thank you for that. And we thank you, Lord, that you're going to be with us over the weekend and protect us, provide for us, lead us, Lord. That's the most thing, is lead us and show us what you want us to do. And let us be ever so diligent to seek you out and to understand what you want us to do and to be in your complete will at all times. And we praise you, Father, for it in Jesus' name. Well, all right. God bless y'all. We'll see.